Well, in the 11th chapter of John, we have one of the most famous passages, one of the most famous acts of all of Jesus' ministry, and that is the ministry of raising Lazarus from the dead. And it's surrounded by a lot of things that we miss in our English translations, which tend to be rather bland compared to what the nature of the Greek translation or Greek original is. And so some of those things that we find when we dig deeper really give us an awful lot of depth of understanding about just what's going on here. Now, the first few verses of chapter 11, we had the opportunity to look at Jesus receiving the news that his friend Lazarus was sick. And since Lazarus was sick, well, then something needed to be done. After all, he was one of the best friends of Jesus. They were the place where Jesus likely stayed when he went to Jerusalem. This was a family that they cared for, that they loved. In fact, in the opening verses, it says that this was the house of Lazarus, and his sisters Martha and Mary were there. And Mary was that one who poured the oil on his feet and wiped it with her hair. And that even hasn't happened yet in the Gospel of John, but John wants us to let us know where we are, what place we are in the Scripture. Well, Jesus tarries for a couple of days because, after all, he says to his disciples, our friend Lazarus is asleep. They say, well, if he's just sleeping, he'll get better. And Jesus says, no, you don't understand. He has died. I'm going to go wake him up. Well, they were a little shocked because, after all, the Jews wanted to kill him. If he goes back into Jerusalem, into Judea, he's in trouble. He's in danger one more time that he's going to get killed. But finally, Thomas, in the 16th verse, said, well, come on, boys, let's go. We'll all go. We're together in this. We're going to go die with him. I'm not sure that he had exactly the same hope for how this was going to turn out that Jesus had. It's pretty clear that he didn't. But now we find Jesus arriving when we get to verse 17 of the scripture in John chapter 11. Now, when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. Well, we're going to discover that there are different ways that we deal with death, but even more than that, we discover that even now, the separation is coming up. Jesus came, he found Lazarus had already been there 4 days. Now, the first 3 days, they kept watch by the tomb, a common practice. You know, you keep watch by the tomb just in case the guy's spirit is still hanging out near there and they want to reintegrate. You know, they had a practice of that, a superstition that went with their ideas of death. But after 3 days, then things were done. In fact, we know what happens in the next passage after what I have where Mary says, no, it's a little too late. I think by now things smell. But right here, it's just before that. Jesus came, and he had been in the tomb 4 days already. We were past that 3 days. Already 4 days had been there. And so he came to this town of Jerusalem. He came there looking forward to what he would do. He knew that he had a special mission here. It was a mission given to him by God because, after all, he had just spent time down by the Jordan River where John had been baptizing. He was there for a number of weeks before he got the word that Lazarus was sick. And Jesus knew he was going to die. He knew what he was going to go and do. He was going to enter into this place of death and bring life. That's what he does. That's who he is. Jesus himself is life. And of course, as we get toward the end of this gospel, we discover how they want to even try to kill the very author of life himself. thinking that will secure their place in history. Well, because of this, the separation has already begun. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died." The separation had begun. It was already the difference between being with somebody and just remembering them. It was already present in their life. The pain was there. The separation was there. The great sorrow was there. And Jesus came into this place. Martha heard that Jesus was coming. And the truth is, she broke protocol when she left the house and ran out to him. Jesus wasn't there yet. In fact, it doesn't even say he was across the street. It was the place where he was when Martha heard about it, and Jesus went and found him before he ever got there. She just needed to do something. That's Martha's character. You know, let's get something done. Let's do something. And the protocol, though, was that the women would always stay in the house, ready to accept the guests, accept the mourners, accept the grief that's coming their way. That was standard procedure until the days of mourning were gone. But Martha took right off. She went. She found Jesus, and he met him, heard he was coming, and went. After all, she thought he would already have been here. But he wasn't. But now here he is. And Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died." Oh my goodness. This is the cry of our heart. This is the way that we feel. Something else should have happened. This never should have. We don't want death. We don't like death. The reason we have hospitals in our world is to try and avoid the idea of death, to separate ourselves from us. The reason we use funeral homes is so that we don't need to actually face the reality of death in our homes. And so, you know, we've tried to separate ourselves from this. But the truth is, whenever someone has died, we have a separation that happens in our hearts and in our souls. It doesn't matter whether we're solid and sure on our belief in eternity or whether we're still struggling with that. We still face the separation. Our emotions are still torn up. Our lives are still turned on their ear. It's just a messy, terrible, awful time for us. And sometimes we, like Martha, think, "Lord, if you would have been here, they wouldn't have died." But Jesus, of course, in our lives, has never left us. And truthfully, in spirit, had never left his friends, Martha and Mary and Lazarus. But the separation is painful. And Jesus knew that they would be facing this. Jesus knew the minds and the emotions of her friends. And so, you know, it's almost like Martha is saying, "Just do something." But even now, I know, Martha is still speaking, "but even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha said to him, "Well, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Okay, really good starting point. But that's not what Jesus is about. He's not about the things that are part of our final future. He's also about our days of life right here and right now. Martha just wants something to happen. Just do something. Whatever you ask from God, he'll give you. "I don't know what your prayer's going to be, Jesus. I don't know how you're going to say it. I don't know what's going to happen. I just know that I wish my brother hadn't died. I just know I wish you had been here. I just know my heart is broken. I just know something needs to happen. You're the only one who can do anything. And Jesus says your brother will rise again." But Martha is still thinking logically, thinking practically, thinking of what's next, thinking of everything that she does. That's her mode of being. That's her mode of living. That's her mode of surviving. She's one of those who deals with death by doing stuff. That's an appropriate way to help us manage the next steps That's one of the ways we deal with death. One of the other ways we find with Martha, who just kind of crumples in a little pile. We'll talk about that in a moment. Because sometimes it's just the only thing we have is our emotions, and that's all we have to work with. Martha had that idea of dealing with what we do, how we take care of this, what's next. They're a very practical approach to life, but still, she knew Jesus would have offered something more. And even now, she's looking forward to whatever that more might be that Jesus has to offer to her. Just do something. Just do something. Well, Jesus is about to do something. But first, he wants to know where Martha is. How is her thought process going? What is it that she looks for? And sometimes God checks us up on what is it you really believe? What is it you really believe? And that's where he is right now. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" And she said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who's coming into the world." Okay, so she believed something about Jesus, but she wasn't quite putting together, how does this work? What do you believe? Martha knew what she'd learned in synagogue school. She knew what she'd heard through the Psalms at the worship in the temple. She knew the things that we all learn. But now something had changed in her life. And I look in this room and I just absolutely know. Every single one of us has had to deal with what does it mean when the one I love almost the best in the world dies? How do I deal with that? What's next? It's been fathers, it's been mothers, it's been brothers. It's been children. It's been friends. It's been co-workers. We've had to deal with this very reality of death. And it's different when we're experiencing it than it is when we're just thinking about it. Well, that's appropriate. This is a place we've never been before. And as we walk into this place, who's there with us? As we walk into this place, are we alone with our beliefs or are we there with our God? Are we alone with our emotions or is God entering into our emotions? Are we there just trying to take another breath? Just trying to take another step? Just trying to imagine waking up tomorrow? It's a challenge. It's new territory. We haven't been here. We want to deal with our faith. We want to deal with what we believe. We want to deal with the God of the universe at the time when we are the one who we believe made us. But now, why are we so limited in our lives? Why do things happen so often? Why is it that it happens young? It happens old? It happens to us? Why? Well, what do you believe? Jesus said these important words, "I am the resurrection. I am the life." He reminds us that he is God eternal. I am. He reminds us that it's not about something we think about. It's about the person we know who is the resurrection. The resurrection isn't a thing, it's a person. That surprises us. We're thinking of the thing. We're thinking of the event. We're thinking of the happening. We're thinking of leaving that grave and being with God. But we find out that actually Jesus himself is the resurrection according to his own words. He has all of our days and all of our eternity in his hands. He knows what we face. And now he knows what we feel. He's there with his friends, Mary and Martha. It's no longer something distant. This is something present for him as well. And in the midst of this, what do you believe? Jesus said, "Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who dies, who lives and believes in me shall never but die. Everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" And she said, "Yes." She didn't quite say, "I believe you're the resurrection," did she? She said, "I believe you're the Christ. I believe you're the one sent into this world, the Son of God. I believe that you are all of those things you have said you are. I'm not sure I'm in with what you just said. I am the resurrection. But Jesus, you're the Christ." Okay, that's important. What do you believe? What do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus is truly more than what your mind can get around? Do you believe he's more than what your heart can get around? Do you believe that he's more than the events that happen to us day by day? Do you believe that he is more than what you've learned even from the scripture? Do you believe that he can be something new for you because of who he is? "I am the resurrection." He also says, "I am the life." Can you understand that Jesus in you is breathing each breath with you? Can you understand that Jesus in you is feeling each heartbeat with you? Can you understand that Jesus in you will never leave you, even through the grave? Do you believe that his life exists in you, even at death? Whoa, we haven't gotten our minds there very often, have we? And we have all of our emotions to deal with. We all have all the realities, the practical things to deal with. Like Martha, there's always stuff to do. There's a big, long list of things that have to happen. And there's things that we forget, and there's things that we remember, and there's things that we plan, and there are things we leave out of the plan. And all of these things we're working on, all of these things we're trying to do, like Martha. But sometimes all we can deal with is what now? What's next? And that's appropriate. All we need is the very next thing to do, because after all, after that, there'll be something else. Well, when Martha had said to Jesus, "I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has been sent into the world," when she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, "The teacher's here. He's calling for you." And when she heard it, Mary rose quickly and went to him. Now, Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. What do you do? Well, Martha went back and got Mary. "Okay, I've met him. He's here. He's going a little deeper than I was ready to go right now. But Mary, you need to see him. He wants to see you," still privately. The house is full of mourners. The house is there, some of those who are friends, because after all, this was a prominent family that lived on the outskirts of Jerusalem. Some were friends, some were associates, some were professional mourners, perhaps, showing up to make sure that they got their quarter for the day and, you know, share in the process of making sure it sounded like a house of mourning. That was a little too much noise for what Jesus was going to enter into. Martha, in fact, went right in and privately told Mary, "The teacher's here. Rabboni, our teacher." And she got up. She went out to him as well. She left the house also. Martha was back. She could entertain the guests for a moment. But Mary ran then to where Jesus was. Jesus hadn't come into the village. He was still on the outskirts. He hadn't been sighted by everybody. It was just those who just really were looking forward to him that had discovered where he was. Well, What now? What now? Martha, you know, as Martha did something, Mary responded with her emotions, and she wasn't going to be settled down. She wasn't going to be set aside. Her emotions were going to be part of who she was, part of how she reacted, part of where she went, part of what she did. And even while Jesus was still on the outskirts, she went. And we find out she says the same thing. In the midst of death's unbearable pain, we read this. When the Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary rise and quickly go out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." I can imagine this picture of Mary covered with tears. This picture of Mary who had tried to hold things together but discovered she couldn't and needed to go in the back room of the house. She was there privately when Martha came back in. I can imagine Mary suddenly breaking out of that room and running through the crowd and moving to the gate and then going off to where Martha said that Jesus was and going to follow him. And all of these mourners wanting to make sure they're around her, making sure they're doing their job, making sure they're consoling her with sharing in the sense of loss. That's the purpose of mourners that share with us. They went out and followed her. She met Jesus, saw him, fell at his feet, says the same words that her sister had said, "Jesus, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died." I'm wondering how different it sounded when Martha spoke those words and when Mary spoke those words. Each one of us responds differently. Each one of us suffers differently. Each one of us is torn differently by the reality of death. Each one of us has to move from that unbearable pain that we first experience into something that is less painful, more healing. For Martha, it was, "Let's get something done." For Martha, it was, "If you would have been here," it's like calling the doctor. It's kind of like calling the ambulance, and the ambulance pulls up, and you say to this person who's mortally wounded, "You're going to be all right." Not really knowing what's next. If you would have been here. If you would have been here. For Mary, it's a different kind of reaction, because she's the one who always led with her heart, not with her actions. She's the one who first got there with how she felt. She's the one who was not afraid of letting the natural tears happen. She's the one who argued with God about what's going on. She's the one who's trying to sort out what's right and what's wrong and what's next and why did this happen and why my brother and why now and why didn't my Savior come? Why didn't my Lord come? Why wasn't he here? If you would have been here, he wouldn't have died. The pain is just so unbearable. Well, I don't blame any of you for feeling that. I tend to start like Martha and end like Mary. That's me. Bobby starts like Mary and ends like Martha. I'm not sure how it works for each one of you. Some of you I know, and some of you I know what category to set you in by my imaginations, but what's going on in your own heart is yours alone, of course. But we find out that something else is going on, and here's where the depth of the scripture shows us something else. Here in verse 33, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying?" Now remember something in John's gospel. when John says the Jews, he's usually speaking of certain spiritual leaders. He's not speaking of the nation. He's speaking of those around them. When John speaks of them this way, John himself was a Jew, so he's not trying to speak outside of who he was or outside of his culture or race or anything. When John speaks of the Jews in the gospel, they never are getting the picture. Okay? So when the Jews said, "See how he loved him," they're not getting the picture. When the Jews say, "Couldn't he have opened the eyes of the blind man, have kept this man from dying?" That's the other half that shows up in John's listing here. There's some who just will never get it, and some who are starting to try and put it all together. But Jesus saw the pain in Mary's heart. With Martha, he saw the practical nature of what was going on. I mean, she was called the doctor, and Mary was, "Why is this happening?" He saw her weeping, saw this pain, saw all the mourners that were there. When it says he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled, when you dig into that right there, you discover something. Jesus was absolutely infuriated that death had entered his world. And he was about to do the first act of proving he is stronger than death. Amen. Greatly troubled. He wasn't heartbroken. He was sharing. He was certainly empathetic. But when he recognized what was going on, when he left with his disciples to go and wake Lazarus, "I'm going to do this because this is for the glory of God," he knew that he was entering into the death that we face all the time in order to prove he is the resurrection, that he is the life. Now, he doesn't do this lightly, because he knows for sure that also Martha and Mary and again Lazarus are going to have to face this passage of death again. Death is still the last enemy. But right now, it's the enemy he faces. Right now in the scripture, it's the enemy that has entered into his heart, and he is infuriated. We don't think of that here. But you back up into the source of the words that are in the scripture, and you find out this wasn't just kind of, "Things aren't going well, are they? You're really hurt, aren't you? I'm really sorry this has happened." Jesus says, "Death was never our plan for this world. Death entered because of sin. Sin entered because of rebellion. Rebellion rejected love, and we created here this world for love. This was never our plan." But it's a reality. And Jesus, when he sees the pain that we suffer, when he sees the separation that is there in our hearts, when he sees our struggle to believe, when he sees our challenge to do what's next, something else is going on in him than we imagine sometimes. Jesus doesn't like death. Jesus, in the creation of the world, did not put death on the list of things that must happen. It was the thing on the list of things that may happen. There's a reason why it hurts us so badly when we face death. For one thing, we live breath by breath, heartbeat by heartbeat, touch by touch. There's that reality. But it also hurts because it just doesn't feel right when someone dies. It just doesn't feel right to us. It's it shouldn't. Because Jesus, the resurrection and the life, even as he's entered into us, giving us hope and giving us a purpose and letting us see past the immediate, death is not what God ever planned on. How do we get through all of this? How do we move next? How do we think about this? We need to remember to stay on the side of Jesus, the one who loves us, the one who made us, the one who sees death as the same enemy that we see it as, the one who created in us that very idea that life is better than death, the one who shows to us that eternity is there so that we no longer have to live by heartbeat, the one who loves us so much knows that death is an enemy. It's an enemy to him. It's an enemy to us, but it's a reality we have to get through until that final day. How do we get through? With Jesus. That's pretty much all you can really say. How do you get through? With Jesus. Know that Jesus knows your heart. Know that Jesus knows how you feel. Know that Jesus recognizes this just isn't right. Know that Jesus has a better plan, and know that Jesus, who is the resurrection, who is the life, is still with you, is still in you, is still planning for your future, and he still knows the day when all will burst forth and join him forever. We don't know the day, but he does. Now he does. He didn't know it when he was on earth. He says, only my Father knows that. Right now, he's at the hand of power next to his Father. He sees that final day, even though we don't. I want to encourage you, as you reflect on these stories of John 11, it's not just about Jesus wept, which is an important verse that says he loves us, but it's also an important that says he hates death as much as we do. But the nature of creation is always God's permission to live with him, to live against him. For he didn't want to create robots. He didn't want to create angels that happen to live on earth. Because those angels that he created are beyond sin. The reason the scripture says they long to look into these things of salvation is because the angels don't know sin. They don't know the glory of forgiveness. He didn't want that for us. He wants life for us. Life that's more than today. Life that's more than tomorrow. Life that's more than next week. Life that is forever with him. How do we get through? We get through with Jesus. We get through understanding he hates this as much as we do. We get through knowing he has a hope and a purpose for us. Let us pray together.